RadioInfluence.com.
This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
Welcome in, everybody, to the new league year of the NFL. Yes, it is Tuesday, March 12th, and the new league NFL season officially starts tomorrow afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern. All of these free agent movements, agreed upon deals, can become official trades that have taken place over a while. We have a lot to get to today. Want to talk a little bit about some of the moves that have been made. Want to talk about free agency in general and understanding it from a real football view and not just the fan media view that makes it a spectacle. We're going to get into that in a second. But want to remind you that for all the latest up-to-the-minute news, other than at this point, you know, stopping to do this podcast, dealing with a lot of people in the league, on the consulting side of things, coming across a lot of information we're providing in our notebooks, and we put it out on Twitter as well. You can go, if you're a member of LandryFootball.com, you can go and find out what's going on around the league. Who's signing where, or who's going to sign where, who's agreed to deals. We've had so much news that yesterday on Monday we had the Monday morning notebook, the Monday afternoon notebook, the Monday evening notebook. We've got the Tuesday morning notebook, and soon we'll be getting into the afternoon where there'll be even more information. So for all the up-to-date information, check out LandryFootball.com. Take advantage of our scouting season sale. Folks, it's a great opportunity this time of year to get the best information around on the NFL free agency period, the draft. And yes, you're wondering, people are asking, hey, when is the draft boards come? The draft boards are already been worked. I've been working on them, and they're going to be coming out soon, just as soon as I can come up for air with free agency. And there's this wave of free agency this first week that's going to slow down a little bit, and we'll get into that in a second. We'll be getting out the boards, and then we're going to be putting some audio reports on the players for you. So you're going to be prepared for free agents in the draft in the order that it takes place, just like the teams do. So take advantage of our scouting season's special. We'll take you through this process. Obviously, for you college football fans, we've got a lot of information. We'll be keeping up to date on what's going on around spring practices. And certainly, as we get into the draft behind us, May and June and July and August, it doesn't slow down. We'll be breaking down the rosters, getting you ready for the football season. So the scouting season's saving special takes you through the entire year. That's the great part of it. So it'll take you getting you ready for the football season, take you through the football season, all the way to next year at this time. So all this, much, much more, for less than a magazine subscription, and now with that special postseason discount. Don't forget, this podcast every Tuesday and Thursday, the Rush the Field podcast every Wednesday. We take a look at college football every Wednesday on Rush the Field. Among the things we're going to talk about tonight, we have our State of the Program series. And tonight, it's the Florida Gators. It's maybe great again to be a Florida Gator. We're going to take you through not only where the program is with Dan Mullen, but over the history and some of the moves that they've made, some of the things that have worked, not worked, why they've gotten here or there. So it'll be a lot of fun. Take advantage of that. Check that out. That's free. Just sign up. You can listen to it. You can find it on LandryFootball.com. Listen to it, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Stitcher, all that good stuff. You can find us there. Also, the War Room newsletter every Friday is free. We give you some unique information that you don't get on the website or don't get here on the podcast. That is kind of the inside information of what's going on around college, some different things that we think you'd be interested in to take you inside. So check it out. All you got to do is go to the website, go to the War Room, click on it, send us your email, and it's free. It'll end up pop up in your email every Friday. So all you have to do is do that, and we'll be right in your email box every Friday. We've got several questions to get to today. And remember that if you've got a question you want me to address right here on this podcast, send it to me. Hit contact Chris. You can pop a Twitter. We will address it right here. As we get through the news of free agency, we're going to continue to update team needs and where things are and kind of see where they were going into it, what they've done to fill it, so on and so forth. Want to start with free agency and understanding the process. And I have got something that I'm going to put up, hopefully get to today, that'll give you a better understanding in detail, a written post on LandryFootball.com that will explain how we approach free agency as NFL executives, as we look at it from a salary cap management standpoint and where you want to put your resources, how teams are a little different. We're going to get into some of that and why people make the moves that they make and why some of them are good, some of them are not good. And sometimes what's good for one is not as good for the other. And there are different do's and don'ts of free agency that we're going to provide for you. So be sure to look out for that. I want to talk about, in general, though, what free agency is, the concept, the idea. We all know that it is the freedom of a player to move once his contract is up, to move on and play for anybody, to shop his services to the highest bidder, to the best situation that he sees fit. I think we all can understand that and appreciate that. People who are listening to this can all relate to that, as people have worked and have had jobs and maybe own a business, maybe you work for somebody, whatever the case may be, you know what your perceived value is in the market in which you work. And you perhaps have been approached by other people and your business and opportunities to move on. We understand it's a different pay level, pay grade. We get that. But there is something to the effect of understanding the freedom of movement and what players do. And it is certainly not a criticism. I think fans get frustrated because fans look at it as, you know, football is a release for them. It is getting away from their work and the grind of work. What they want is something that, some form of loyalty, some form of excitement for their team. They want to hold on to all the players that they like, and they want to go out and get other players that they see with other teams, and they move forward with the concept and ideas that this is what our team needs to do. In reality, players look at this as a business. Of course, they want to win championships. They all want to win. But they all want to get, as they say, get paid. They all want to get their just desserts here, in that there's a limited amount of time in which they have to earn in this league a lot of money. This type of money will not exist in whatever job they go to, okay? There was a day, a Roger Staubach day, who made more money in real estate than he did playing football. And that day, yeah, he's had a lot of time in real estate and made a lot of money and, relatively speaking, didn't make that much money in the NFL, comparatively speaking, you know, to what it is today. That's not the case today. There's so much money to be made. You got to make. This is not a career. This is an opportunity to make money. And if a player looks at it any differently, they often don't pile away what they need to in terms of investing in their own future, to where they don't need to work for anybody at any point in the future. They can own, they can manage, and they can live a very nice lifestyle for the rest of their life and have security for themselves and their family, in some cases, generational security. That's how players look at free agency. From a team standpoint, here's what you have to understand. There is a lot of talk, chatter, lists about who the best players are in free agency. And, you know, what does this mean? And who's available? And my team needs this. And I see, you know, team A sign this guy, this guy, and this guy. My team's not doing anything. I'm losing ground. Folks, this is what we do. You hear this a lot. You know, go to this website. And listen, I'm not trying to criticize. I have a website as well. Okay, there's a difference between, you know, people who just gather information and write what they hear, and, you know, as opposed to people who evaluate. And obviously that's where we come in and do it like in an NFL team does it, because that's what I have done for years and years in this league. And it is an evaluation process of the players. Just like I tell you, when you evaluate players in the draft, what use is it to say, what good does it do to say these are the five best, you know, fill in the blank position in the draft or free agency? That's not relevant. You could say who, it's like saying who are the three best golfers in this group. If they're all, if the best one's a 15 handicap, that doesn't say much, right? Here's the point. Ranking doesn't matter without a grade. The grades take you to the ranking. As you know, the way we handle free agency, and again, if you're not a member of LandryFootball.com, you're missing out on this. Every player in the NFL, graded by position. That's what you need to know. You go in and see how the player graded this past year. You'll see who's of good value, who's not. And it's as simple as that. Now, you will see designations of who's headed into tomorrow as an unrestricted free agent. But some of them will re-sign with their teams. But the free agent list will never grow small. It's just going to be as one guy is signed, another guy is off the board. So, like, for example, this morning as we're getting ready to do this podcast, the Saints have struck a deal with Latavius Murray, the Vikings, the running back, because Mark Ingram is going to get more money than the Saints are willing to pay, so they make a move. So it's, you know, all right, Murray's off the board. Ingram is now definitely going to be on the board. And there's a, as you sign players, you release another player, which makes another player available on another team. So the number, the board doesn't shrink, unlike the draft. It's just replaced by another. So to have a deal where you're ranking guys and you talk about who's available or not, any player could be available at the drop of a hat, within reason. Some guys are not going to be released, but you know what I mean, that as we grade players, you immediately know who has value, who doesn't have value, who's graded well, who hasn't, who's overrated, who's underrated. And then you can see in terms of how the grade matches up to the contract and the commitment to the team and so on and so forth. That's what free agency is about, identifying which players have value, what type of value, and what does it really mean to you? And so you hear this, well, it's kind of like, again, it's this list of here's the next best guy. Well, my team needs to go get this guy. You couldn't be further from the truth in a lot of the understanding of that. It's about understanding who graded well and whose value. There's some good signings out there. You know, if you look at it and say, here's what the needs are, and here's what the value of the players are, this will dictate whether the money is worth it. Here's what free agency is. It is players that are made available by their current team because their current team doesn't feel that they're worth it. The team that in many cases drafted them, but in any case has had them in their building and has worked with them, and while may have played well for them, may have been healthy, may not have, they've decided for whatever reason, we want to go elsewhere. It's not a good fit for us. And yet, those very players are the players that the fans and the media are clamoring for. They ought to go get this guy. They ought to go get that guy. Well, there's some cases where there's some merit to that. In most cases, it's not. Again, you're not getting the best players. The draft, even college recruiting, you're going to get the best players available, and you're trying to get as many of them as you can. In free agency, you're not getting the best players. The best players don't hit the market. Okay, so you're getting less than the best. Now, can you find bargains? You can. There is the key to free agency. You don't find bargains in the first wave of free agency. Here's what happens. In the first wave of free agency, you're seeing teams that haven't built their roster very well or are taking over a new roster where they're inheriting a bad roster and cleaning it up, trying to get competitive early and thinking that we can add this player, that player, and make it, make our team a little bit better. Others will look at it and say, you know, teams that draft well, if you draft well, you're not going to be very active in free agency because your activity in free agency is to sign your own players. That's the other thing that just kind of amazes me in the lack of understanding is the first key point of free agency is signing your own players that are good and worthy of signing. But it's funny that the media and the fans don't count that. Oh, you know, it's who else you get. Grass is always greener, right? We live in a world of fantasy football. Everybody just, you know, pick this guy, drop that guy, pick that guy. There is no understanding of a team concept and an understanding of personnel and coaching and football from the truest level. They understand it from a fantasy level and a fan level. And what you get is, in their eyes, activity equals success. Yet, you go back and do your homework. The teams that are the most active in the first wave of free agency are the teams that never win. They're the teams that struggle the most. They're the teams that don't draft very well, and therefore they have to go and sign somebody else. That, listen, by definition, they're going to have to overpay, but because they're better than what they have, they're going to overpay. So what you do is you overpay for a better player than you have at that position, but still not an elite player, and then you throw your whole salary cap out of whack because now you have to pay just slightly better than mediocre players more money and other players even more and more. It's a spiral down effect of bad decision, trumping another bad decision, trumping another, and then you've got in an equitable locker room where you've got value completely out of whack. The other thing you see is, for example, the Detroit Lions. And let me just say why it works. Okay, let's take the team that's been most successful in the NFL, the New England Patriots. They draft well, they develop well. They work free agency a lot better than people know. Okay, free agency is important, but not the big signing high-ticket items. It's bargain shopping. What they see is they hold their water in the early stages of free agency. And what they do, they let the market soften a little bit. Then they go in and they get 2-3 players for what somebody might pay a high ticket item, and they find 2 or 3 players that end up being just purely better players, all three of them, than a high ticket guy that somebody pays for. And then they've got improved depth. And every year they're winning divisions and competing for championships, and they're doing it with a lot of different players. Fungible players at the bottom end of their roster. You hear me say all the time, they build from the bottom up. And they have smart players, versatile players that can do a lot of things, and they develop players within their system. And then when a guy is very productive because they've been coached up and he wants a ton of money, they don't sit there and overreact. They understand this guy's worth 5. That's what we're going to pay. If he can get 6.25 somewhere else, God bless him. They're not going to budge from that. Most fans would say, oh, go give him more. We want him. We got to have him. They don't do that. They know they can lose Trent Brown. They can lose Trey Flowers. And they can go and develop the next guy. Isaiah Wynn was drafted last year to be the future left tackle, and they feel they will develop him. Why? They're well coached. They understand it. So, Trent Brown, who, listen, is a good player, certainly overpaid by the Raiders. But, in fairness to the Raiders, this is a bad team that's trying to make some positive signs. Clearly, they need a left tackle to protect the quarterback. They don't have one. They drafted one in the first round that is not what they thought. This is what we all thought. Colton Miller, certainly overdrafted. All the draft pundits saying, oh, how great he is and all, moving up and this and that. What do we do? Say, this is what the guy is. That's what he'll be. And there you go. That's what he is. He'll get better. Colton Miller will be a good football player in this league. He won't be, you know, what they thought. But they drafted for need, and it hadn't worked out. Now they're having to overpay for need. And look, he's a better player than they have. They've got to start finding some pieces. It's not about, well, they got a lot of cap room, Chris. They should be spending money. No. You spend some money, but you spend what a player is worth. If you start paying six for a player that's worth five, you start playing five for a player that's worth four, then all of a sudden you're not going to have any cap room and you're going to have a mediocre team. And don't we see that all the time? I mean, don't we see the Redskins do that all the time? I mean, we see a lot of teams do that, and they never make the playoffs. They're never any good. But, boy, they sure win March. They win all the headlines. How many years have we crowned the Redskins the champions of March? And they have done squat because, again, and it's the first, second year you can understand fans and media not understanding the salary cap, and, you know, they see the signings and they think, well, this is going to be great. They don't understand football. They're, again, it's fantasy football to them. So, you know, they just think you plug this guy in. This is not baseball where you can plug in a big time hitter, put him in third base, fifth in the lineup, and you're really good. Couple of trips through the new league and he is ready to go. It's not like in basketball where you put a guy in and, you know, he can, you know, be a good shooting guard or low post player, whatever the case may be. You gel a little bit, boom, you got something. It's not like in hockey where you take a winger that's a good scorer or, you know, a guy that you can plug into a line and this is football. It's the ultimate team game. It is, it's about fit. It's about, you know, well, take example. Trent Brown, we just talked about, was released, basically. I mean, the Niners were looking to get rid of him because he's not athletic enough to run their zone scheme. So the Patriots sign him, you know, and get him for dirt cheap. Good fit for them. Still not what the Niners would want. Now the Raiders are breaking the bank for him. Like he's one of the best tackles in the league. Well, he's not. He's a good player. They paid a great money to. Now, is it a bad move for the Raiders? No, because they've got to get better. But, again, that's part of the problem. For the Lions, are they making a mistake by signing Trey Flowers and Amendola? And look, here's the difference. The Patriots are good because they've got stability. They know how to develop players. They've got time to do it. They've got consistency. They've got a Hall of Fame quarterback. Got a Hall of Fame coach. They've got a lot of things. The Lions, they're trying to change a culture. Look, if they don't start, I mean, they're not going to get fired after this next year, but they need to start winning soon. Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia have to have some success. So if they don't start to get things going in the right direction, they're going to be in trouble. I mean, a disastrous season, I mean, you know, all bets are off in this league, but more than likely, 2020 is going to be the pivotal year to survive, to do something. They have evaluated their team and their organization and feel like we don't have the right culture. So, look, do they pay more than the Patriots are willing to pay for Trey Flowers? Yes. They did it. Why? Well, Trey Flowers can rush the passer over the center, over the guard, over the tackle. He understands the culture of how they want to do it. They're signing him. They're, quote-unquote, overpaying for him to do multiple things and to be a leader in the locker room and to set the tone for what they want. Same with Amendola. Pretty clear what they're trying to do. These moves and cap resources are to get a player that can help in terms of on the field, but just as much to create a cultural environment that's going to be a difference for them because they don't have that. So, is it a bad move? You have to look at every move individually and say, no, the Lions are not where the Patriots are. You know, should they do it like the Patriots? Well, they're not the Patriots. They don't have the same people, and they've got to do things in a way that is going to allow them to create their own identity. And right now, in this league, this is why people do, because people ask me, if it's such a bad way, why do people do it? Because people are under pressure to win now. People are under pressure to make some improvements. If you don't make that move, then what's going to become of you? So if you're Jacksonville, do you pay all that money to Nick Foles? Well, in their eyes, you do. 2 years ago, team made a nice little run. Good team, good defensive team, ran the football well, got all the way to the AFC Championship game. Bortles played pretty well in the playoffs, thought they wanted to continue, give him another year to see if he can grow. He didn't. Things cratered. The offense was so bad. You saw the defense, which had a lot of swagger, became a little bit malcontents, and all of a sudden, that team, that organization regressed into, well, non-competitive, not even close to playoff caliber. How quickly a year can change in this league, huh? Well, is Nick Foles going to carry this team? Absolutely not. That's not what Nick Foles is. Nick Foles has never had to be a quarterback for a 16-game schedule to lead the team. He has been a relief pitcher. He's been a guy that got the Eagles on a run in the playoffs. Last year, some success, some very average play on film, played pretty well, his best football in the playoffs. Look, he's better than what the Jags have. And if you're in their position, are you going to draft a guy that's going to help you early? Probably not. So you invest in Nick Foles, who you think is going to protect the football, going to make good decisions, can throw the football deep downfield, can take some pressure off the offense, so that they can run the football more successfully and, more importantly, protect the football and allow that defense to play well. So they're gambling on that because now Jacksonville's kind of got a window with a lot of young players that if they don't make a move, they're going to lose some of those players to free agents and whatnot. So the risk is worth it. If you don't do anything at quarterback, you're going to continue to kind of spiral down. So understand that the point I'm trying to make is, look, understand your team, understand its situation, understand where their coach and their front office is in terms of the pressure that they're under, and that certainly affects some of these decisions that are made. But for the most part, always understand that the best value is when you're patient, you let somebody else react and move forward. And we'll see what will happen. Another thing I want to mention is these deals are not done yet. And I know we think all these deals are done, but like, for example, Anthony Barr going to sign with the Jets. Okay, that news came out, right? Well, he's had a change of heart. He's going to stay with the Vikings. So until these deals are consummated and in writing, I have done this enough. A contract is not a contract until both sides sign it and it goes into the league and it's approved by the league. Until then, it's not a deal. Most of these deals are going to go through. I don't know if you're aware of this. Every contract has to be approved by the league, and then, of course, players have to pass physicals or else the deal can be null and void. Occasionally, we see that. It's just rare. And so, nobody bothers to report that, or say that. But the reality is, we live in a world where we got to know immediately. Well, we'll tell you immediately, but understand that, take it with a grain of salt. Here's the other thing I want to give out a warning. So-and-so signed for $88 million. $52 million guaranteed. folks, a little tip. I know there are a lot of guys that you probably follow out there. The breaking news guys, reports. This is what it's worth. 75% inaccurate is what they report. Not because they don't do their homework. They're getting the information from the agent. And the agent tells them, it's $52 million guaranteed. Well, hey, Chris, it's $52 million guaranteed. So everybody repeats it, okay? But it is not factual. Unless and until you read paragraph 5 of the language of the contract, you don't know what the guaranteed money is. Here's a little tip. You hear this. Well, it's $55 million guaranteed. No, it's $55 million guaranteed if all the appropriate incentives are met, including in bonuses are met, such as a roster bonus next year or 2 years from now. Yeah, if he's on the roster 2 years from now on March 1st, yeah, that money will be guaranteed. But it's contingent upon him being on the roster. So it's not guaranteed. If the team can determine whether he's on the roster or not, oftentimes that is a trigger to remove a player from the roster or to make a decision on the player. So understand, if you want to truly know what is really guaranteed, signing bonus is guaranteed. If you sign a player, assuming he passes the physical and it goes through again, well, then that first year's contract's going to be valued. Now, if you look at the roster bonus for, say, next year, the likelihood is they're going to keep them, because the alternative is to release them, and maybe you've got a lot of dead money coming in, because if you prorate the signing bonus, that proration comes due the immediate point that you trade him or cut him. So if you look at the signing bonus and the salary for the current year, that's the only thing that's truly guaranteed, truly. Because everything else is contingent upon him. You know, the salary he gets the second year is dependent upon him being on the team next year. It's dependent if the roster bonus next March is guaranteed. Yeah, it's guaranteed contingent upon him being on the roster. Now, you can look at the probabilities of it, which is why you need to look at things like what is, you know, the likelihood, the age of the player that he's going to be on the roster. Here's the other thing. Depending on how they prorate the money, they may front load the deal. So it gives them an option to basically rent a player for a year or two so that they can make a decision. Look, you're due this roster bonus and let's convert it into this and let's make it a little bit more cap friendly. We want to keep you, or we want to move on from you. And so the whole guaranteed stuff is very misleading. Oh, but it's very misleading. It's got this and that. Well, here's the other thing. So-and-so has $50 million of cap room. Listen, I get it. There are websites out there. The NFLPA says that those are not the accurate cap numbers. They're never accurate. I have to work like the teams do with the management console numbers, which is updated for every team every day. You don't know. It's the biggest misconception by fans. Well, they released this guy, he's off the books. No, not necessarily. Is there dead money on him? There are a lot of money that's cap capital for players that are not on your roster. That's what we call dead money. So you don't know. Well, you get 50. Here's the other thing. You've got to plan a year and two out who you're going to sign on your roster. Who do you like? Who do you don't like? Who you want to keep, who you want to move on from. Those things are really important. Really, really important to understand that you quote-unquote may have money, but you've got that money allocated. Here's the best way to explain it. Listen, guys, from what I understand, there are a whole lot of people that live paycheck to paycheck, and a lot of the country's in debt and all that. I don't know the validity of that. Economists say that. But understand this. You can sit there and say, well, I got money. I got paid my check. I got this. And you do. But you got money allocated for your mortgage, maybe your car payment, maybe two car payments, maybe your kid's school, or, you know, food, you know, utility, you know. Yes, you got money, but that money is accounted for. Well, it's no different than doing a budget for an NFL team. You have to account for money. Well, you're the Saints. Why can't you keep Mark Ingram? Because you can't afford to pay him the money that somebody else is going to pay and still be able to pay Alvin Kamara. At that point, you're not going to have a team around those guys. So what you have to do is, A, the Saints either needed to convince Mark Ingram to, hey, look, take a shorter deal and, you know, get to free agency again. Or if somebody's willing to pay him a bigger deal, which I think there is, and we're going to watch that coming later today or tomorrow, next couple of days, we're going to see the fact that, all right, look, we're going to get a good back. May not be Mark Ingram, but we're going to get a good back. And they signed Latavius Murray, the Saints did, for a lesser price. They need a back. They need a guy to complement Alvin Kamara. And there's no question that Ingram is a better fit for that and is a perfect blend with Kamara. But at the price, you're not able to do that and then be able to keep other key members of your team currently and into the future. You know, and that's even for a team that is in a win-now mode. So understand that the cap room doesn't account for a lot of needs that you have, a lot of players that you might want to keep, draft picks you need to sign, and if you hit on them, you're going to want to keep them. All that money has to be allocated. So always understand that. Now, before we get to some questions, some of the latest around the league as we speak, is information is coming fast and furious. Since we have been on the air, the Bills have agreed to terms with Cole Beasley on a 4-year deal. The Bills also added John Brown on Tuesday. So they've got their receiver room that's upgraded in their mind, got a slot guy and an outside guy. I mentioned that Anthony Barr is re-signed with the Vikings. Pardon me. Devontae Parker is been re-signed and kept with the Dolphins. Ziggy Ansah is going to visit with the Bills and the Saints. We'll see what comes of that. We told you about the Saints agreeing with Latavius Murray. Jordan Hicks has agreed to deal with the Eagles. Kyle Nelson is re-signed, the long snapper, with the Niners. And Billy Turner has signed with the Packers, formerly in the Broncos, a 4-year deal with him. The Chargers have agreed to terms with Thomas Davis, formerly of the Panthers, linebacker there. The Packers have released Nick Perry. Preston Smith has agreed to terms, formerly of the Redskins, with the Packers. So the Packers kind of changing a lot of things, becoming more active in free agency than they've been in the past. Of course, you know by now, I'm sure, that Teddy Bridgewater has re-signed with the Saints to keep that quarterback room good and give. He had an offer with the Dolphins, but elected to stay. Hey, again, we're not going to go over every signing. It'll take too long. We got that. And react to it in our notebook. So check out LandryFootball.com. If you're a member there, you will not only get what happened, but why it happened. So check that out. You think you will absolutely love that. And again, get you the most up-to-date information. All right. Kevin asks, NFL, he says, last podcast you mentioned that all 32 teams will create different draft boards and their top 150 players, and each board will be unique. Based on your experience, what percentage of teams' draft boards will be erroneous because they're overvaluing how a player fits within the team scheme or team's need? Kevin, it's all about evaluation. It's not just about how he fits within the team scheme. Team needs shouldn't factor in. Okay, you can't make a player better because he fits a need. Okay, you have to evaluate every player as if you need that player. Okay, and does he fit for you? And then, if you choose, I think incorrectly, but if you choose to take a player of need, so be it. But you can't make a player better. You can't artificially put them up the board because It's a need. Well, then what you're saying is, you know, hey, this guy, I'm going to fudge him, make him better. Oh, yeah, he's the 10th best player. And well, you misevaluate him. So you're going to see people see players differently. They're going to value players differently. You see it in free agency. Giants are not going to pay that amount of money for a safety in Landon Collins. But the Redskins, a team in their own division, says, well, we want them now. Who's right? Who's wrong? I mean, we can debate that and see that over time. But there's misevaluations of player. And, yes, there are misevaluations of how a player fits. And I think there are probably some issues of you tend to artificially push a player because, hey, he's better than what we got, so let's sign him. Well, we just had that discussion about free agency. God, we desperately need this guy. He's going to mean this and that for us. And, you know, we got to do something now or we're not going to be around to be picking players in another year. So you see some of those decisions in free agency and the draft on your board. It does affect. As most people know, Kevin asked, Dexter Lawrence and two other Clemson players were suspended for the last games of Clemson season. Considering that Ostarine is illegal in every country in the world, are you skeptical that these players accidentally ingested this from mislabeled commercial product? What's the best way to evaluate a player when the circumstances are unclear? Or lean more in psychological evaluation? No, in a case like this, certainly the psychological evaluation is there, and you use that. But the answer is to do your investigative work, not the stuff that you're going to read about, but you'll find out a little bit about, you know, what the players knew, when did they know it, who's in their circle, what advice did they get. To me, you always have a question mark or we call it a question mark on anything. Like in this case, for these guys, it's a question mark. We got to do more due diligence from a security standpoint, from a psychological standpoint, but from a scout standpoint on campus. That's why you have area scouts. They know that university and know everybody at that university. They should know key people in that community that they can go to and find out the answer, the true deal for them about the player. Yeah, you know, well, they're going to cover up with the player. If they do, over time, it's going to hurt because you're not going to believe that person and use that person, and it may hurt a player at that school that is a good kid if you say that everybody's a good kid. So the answer to that question is, you just got to do more evaluation of what the guy is, what's been his history, what's his background, and make your decision accordingly. So the answer really comes into more security and investigative work. Richard asks, what was your scouting? Richard always likes to know what my evaluation was going back on players. What was your evaluation of Pepper Johnson and Chris Carter come out of Ohio State? Carter had some ineligibility issues, signing with an agent, which – you know, affected a little bit. And he was a guy that had a character problem. He had a drug problem. Chris Carter turned his life around. One of the great stories. Made it to the Hall of Fame. Was with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was a mess. Not because of the Eagles, but because he was doing things he shouldn't have done to his body. Drugs. He straightened out his life. Fantastic. But that's what really hurt Chris Carter. Chris Carter had tremendous hands, tremendous catch radius outside of his body because of those hands. Strong, really good, but you worried about his character. Pepper Johnson was a really good point of attack player against the run. Short area quickness, very cerebral, very hardworking, very physical, played off blocks well, stepped over trash well, really good player. What was your assessment, Richard S., of Rob Ryan as a coach? Inconsistent, very aggressive. I think did some good things. And I think, listen, Rob Ryan to me is like an accoutrement. It's like a seasoning. You know, you want a little bit of pepper and it really flavors your defense well. I thought Rob was really good on staffs more than he was as a coordinator. I thought Rob would season your defense a little too much and gamble a little too much and cause you some problems, but hyper aggressive is how I would call him. Zach asks, how would you rate Tom Cable as an offensive line coach? What does he look for in linemen? Thanks for your time. Thank you, Zach. Tom is a really good teacher, physical guy. He likes guys that are really strong at the point of attack. He likes guys that come from a wrestling background, which I do too. And listen, I think Tom kind of liked, and this is kind of an ego speak here, he liked guys that weren't really highly drafted that he could groom and kind of take credit for how good they are. I think that they didn't do a good enough job in Seattle of addressing the offensive line because Tom didn't like a lot of the top guys because it puts a lot of pressure. This is kind of an unknown thing. Everybody thinks that all coaches at their position want players to be taken at their position. And, boy, there are a lot of them. I mean, I coach with, a guy like a Larry Bechtel who, I mean, he wanted, if he was up to him, he was off. He was an offensive line coach, outstanding offensive line coach. But if we could have taken 12 offensive linemen, he'd have been happy and wondering why we are not signing five more in free agency. Other coaches tend to want to not have the pressure of a highly drafted guy because then if it doesn't work out, then it's his fault. I mean, so some guys are a little different. Tom was more the guy that liked to be the hero of grooming the hard-fighting, aggressive guy that was good hand-fighting, good lower body strength, more than he was working with guys that, which I thought needed to be a little bit more athletic, a little bit better foot quickness. This is Rock, great to email. It's not really much of a question. He's responding to the podcast I did last week about, or maybe it was Tuesday. I can't remember now. It was Tuesday, I guess. Talking about the boosters and anyway, Rock reminds me that he was born in Omaha and raised in Kansas City, Missouri, and spent holidays and summers in Omaha. And he says he's a Big A guy from way back. Grew up following the Missouris, the Kansas State, Nebraska. He said he loved the segment. Talk a little bit about, you know, he was surprised some of the things. He thought that Nebraska would be cheating with PEDs and roids, and they were. But they, they had a little quiet way of going, and Oklahoma was, as I mentioned, a little bit, a little bit more in your face. He talks about Bob Devaney and the old days and great program. He says he was surprised about hearing about the payouts for Kansas and Kansas State and didn't seem to do them much good. But that's just it. You know, those are the programs that try a lot and they're not always that good, but who they get, they work hard. And he says he always ranted about the Southwest Conference being the worst by far. And as I said, no, I think the Big Eight at that time was the worst that I've ever seen. The Southwest Conference is considered the worst just because of SMU. And, you know, and when you have a program that has got the death penalty, you know, it's the Wild Wild West. And it was bad. But by comparison, top to bottom, I think it was worse in the Big Eight. Bad in the Southwest Conference, even worse. But anyway, thanks for listening, Rock, and for writing in. And again, a reminder that if you have any questions, send it to me at contactchris@LandryFootball.com or, you know, send us a note on Twitter @LandryFootball. And again, follow all the latest information around NFL free agency on Twitter @LandryFootball. More importantly, the details and the breakdowns inside our notebooks at LandryFootball.com. We'll talk to you again on, what is today, Tuesday? Yeah, we'll talk to you again on Thursday. We'll have more free agency information. And again, as we move forward, we try to be topical. This just happens to be free agency time. So we'll get into stuff as we move along and more draft stuff as that's starting to turn the page into that. On LandryFootball.com. Check out the scouting season special. If you're not a member yet, you're missing out on everything we've got in free agency, the draft. Take advantage of it and join us on LandryFootball.com, just like you join us right here on the Landry Football Podcast. Talk to you Thursday.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter @LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
Do you love college football? Of course you do. And there's no better place for your college football conversation than right here on Rush the Field. I'm Scott Seidenberg, and alongside my co-host, veteran coach, scout, and consultant Chris Landry, we're going to break down the college game from all different aspects. Whether it's breaking news, big-time matchups, or just arguing about the rankings, Chris and I will have it all covered. So join us on Rush the Field with me, Scott Seidenberg, and Chris Landry. Available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.